are from different places. We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
Hey, Tim. How's it going?
Hey, Beth. Today I was nauseous until 1:30 in the afternoon, and I was trying to figure out why I wasn't feeling well. But then I started realizing that the reason why I wasn't feeling well was that I was nauseous. And I figured out why I was nauseous. It seems that whenever I have canned beets and I put coconut oil in with the canned beets, it seems to make me sick. And I use raw coconut oil on things like salads and cooked vegetables and stuff like that, and it doesn't make me sick. So maybe there's just not enough content there with the beets. Like, I use too much coconut oil with the beets, and it tastes amazing, but I don't necessarily recommend it unless you want to get sick, potentially. That was an interesting scenario to hear today. But after I stopped feeling sick, I actually felt really good. So for sure, it had to do with the nausea that I didn't feel good. And so it makes me think like taking care of ourselves is really important so that we feel good rather than not good. Because when we feel not good, then everything is harder and everything makes you feel tired. And it's really hard to do everything. You can't even focus or anything like that. So and then towards the end of my workday, I took a cold shower. And I was thinking, when I get in the cold shower, it's kind of like going out in a lightning storm. And I became the lightning bolt, out in the lightning storm. Like, it's so crazy. Like, the first 2 to 5 seconds of being in the cold shower. Then after that, my body's accustomed to it and it's all good. But I swear by cold showers, though. I can't do the warm or hot shower, because I found out as I'm getting older that I actually just hate water, period. Like, outside of drinking water, I don't like to get wet. I don't know, I'm a cat or something. I'm not really sure. So if I'm going to get wet, I might as well get wet in the way that I think is going to benefit me the most. So I think cold water is best for me because it doesn't dry my skin out. And then I feel really refreshed afterwards. So it's just that few seconds that I don't like. But I wouldn't even like that few seconds if I was doing a warm shower or a hot shower anyway. So I might as well just feel like a lightning bolt or something when I get in the shower. So that's one thing. The second thing is, I saw the second Mission Impossible. Actually, there's a whole bunch of Mission Impossible movies. But this is the second of two parts of Dead Reckoning. Now, here's the weird thing. The first one was called Dead Reckoning Part 1. The second movie, the one that just came out, is called Final Reckoning. So they just decided not to call it Dead Reckoning Part 2. I don't understand that. I'll go ahead and say that I enjoyed the movie, but I didn't really think that it fulfilled my expectations at all, unfortunately. So what that means is, they had excellent action and the characters were compelling. I enjoy watching the characters on the screen. They always do a compelling acting job, but the plot just was totally poorly executed for me. There were all this hype about AI being an extreme problem for the entire world. That was the enemy. And basically taking over cyberspace and so forth. And they did explore that plot. Don't get me wrong, but they just didn't explore it in the intricate manner that I was hoping that they would. They just sort of, it almost felt like an afterthought when you were watching the movie. More so everything of the presentation focused on Tom Cruise and what he was going to do to deal with this threat, rather than exploring the intricacies about how AI is affecting the world and Tom Cruise is dealing with the AI in relation to the antagonist. Instead, it was just Tom Cruise and Party like doing like cool action scenes and stuff like that. That's what it felt like to me. I'm not exactly like alone in this analysis, because the first Dead Reckoning Part 1 got an 81 by critics, and Dead Reckoning Part 2, or what they call Final Reckoning, got a 67 by critics, even though it got similar user reviews, 7.5 on both parts. This is on IMDb I'm talking about. So those were my main things. I don't know if there was other stuff I was going to talk about, but these are the things that immediately come to mind. So I will leave it at that.
Awesome. You know, Tim.
Thank you.
I have never seen a single Mission Impossible movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And don't tell anybody. I'm just kidding. This is a podcast. At least three people listening, maybe more. I'm probably not gonna change that.
Oh, I respect that. I understand.
I get that. I know that people really like those movies, though. So I'm glad you enjoyed it, but didn't, you know. I'm sorry that the plot wasn't what you and others wanted it to be.
Well, hey, for the record, Beth, I actually thought Thunderbolts was a much better movie than the Mission Impossible one was.
No, that one was good, but just really cheesy.
Yeah. I watched the Thunderbolts again, and now that I watched it a second time after you told me it was cheesy, I'm like, you know what? This is a little bit cheesy, but I liked it a lot anyway. Like, I look past the cheesiness.
Cheesy, best way. I'm not knocking.
Yeah.
Like, I like cheese. Cheese is delicious. So you are what you eat and what movies you watch. I don't know.
That's a really great way to say something is cheesy. Cheesy. Yeah. Cheese is delicious. What's happening with you, Beth?
Well, everything is a blur. Last week, my prayers were for productivity or something similar to that.
Right.
I didn't get much accomplished that I wanted to get accomplished. So I'm in overtime right now doing all this stuff. My mom and my dad and my stepmom are coming out for Owen's graduation, which is next Wednesday. So
wow.
I was supposed to have had the living room and kitchen and downstairs bathroom cleaned by now, but I have none of that done. So
I completely understand.
I leave tomorrow. My stepdad is not coming because his niece is getting married around the same time. So he's going to go to that to celebrate his niece. And so I'm taking Jonah with me tomorrow. Oh, we're recording this on a Wednesday. We usually record on Mondays, but
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter. But tomorrow, Thursday, May 29th, Jonah and I will be heading to Salt Lake City to meet my mom and my stepdad halfway from South Dakota.
Wow.
And then we usually spend the night, and then we come back the next day. I asked my mom what time she was leaving, and she said 6 a.m. And I was like, oh, I'm probably not going to make it that early, but, wait, no, I always get this mixed up. 6 o'clock her time. I was like, oh, 6 o'clock her time. That's 7 Pacific time. It's not, it's 5 Pacific time. Anyway. I was like, so that gives us an extra hour. No, it doesn't. But it's like 9 hours for us to get there, and it's about 10 hours for them to get there. So I told my mom I would try to leave by 8, thinking that was like the same time. Actually, it might still work out though, because my math is still fine, but because it only takes us 9 hours and it takes them 10 hours. And if I leave an hour later than they do, which is 8 o'clock my time, but 7 o'clock their time. Yeah, that works out. Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, very good.
That feels better in my head. But anyway, we had our kitchen remodeled last year and had all of our carpet taken out and hard wood floors put in. And we have like this loft slash bonus room, like that, like in our upstairs. So we have like, you know, the bathroom and bedrooms around. And then there's this giant bonus room in the middle. And most of the stuff, like this was 2 years ago, and I still have been having a really hard time like putting my house back together. And there's still a bunch of stuff in the garage that I probably don't need anymore since it's been in there for 2 years. And anyway, so our bonus room loft area was just filled with boxes and junk that I didn't know what to do with. And I was supposed to get that done over the weekend, but that didn't happen. I got most of it done. And I was actually just finishing up cleaning. My mom's going to sleep in the bonus room, which is why it was imperative for me to get that cleaned. But it actually, if you had seen it before, it was a huge mess. You'd be like, wow, I can't believe it ever looked like that. So at least my mom has a place to sleep. And if I don't get, come on, if I don't get to the living room and kitchen, I'm going to try. I'm probably going to be up till like midnight cleaning. But I'll still, Craig and Owen will be staying home. So whatever I don't get done, I will enlist them to do.
Oh.
Yeah. And so
very nice.
Yeah. And I went and got my oil changed today, and then I got it done at Walmart. So I just walked around Walmart for a little bit while my oil changed. And Miriam texted me today. She crocheted a graduation lei for her son Joseph, who's also graduating this year.
Uh-huh.
And there were like flowers in it, and she's like, "I'm going to put money in it." And I was like, "Oh, I forgot. I have to get stuff for my kid who's graduating." And so, yeah. So I'm looking at all the stuff, and everything says 2025 on it. Congrats, grads, 2025. And I'm looking at all of it, and I'm just thinking, I just flashed back to his kindergarten graduation. And I was thinking how when he graduated kindergarten, I was like, oh, they had like a banner that said class of 2025 on it. And back then I was like, that's so far away. It doesn't even seem like a real year. Like, and it's true what they say. The time like goes by slow. What do they say? They say the days pass slowly, but the years go quickly. And I was just like,
whoa,
what happened? And like Owen's little life flashed before my eyes. And,
wow.
This thing I don't remember how it started, but when Owen graduated eighth grade, I got him a card that said, you know, to my beautiful mother or something like that. So we like to get cards for each other that are not for the demographic that they were intended for. And like, I think I received one that said like to a great grandfather or something. I don't know. So I bought him it was in with all the graduation cards. It was like, it was a kindergarten graduation card, and it says, "Congrats on graduated kindergarten. You're a kid now." And
oh, wow.
Got Owen for his graduation card. And how much money are you supposed to put in those things? Like, as I guess as the parent, I don't have to put anything in there. But yeah, this is weird territory. But anyway, that's all that's happening here.
Wow, that sounds really eventful, Beth. And I'm glad that you made some really significant progress on your house, but you're not quite there yet. But you can enlist your family members to help you for the rest. So I it's funny because I said very nice, but I'm like, well, wait, I'm not sure if they're going to think that's very nice, but it's very nice for you. Well, maybe it's very nice for them because they're going to be thinking that they're helping mom. So that's well, good.
I already let Owen know because we have two bathrooms upstairs and one bathroom downstairs. And one of the bathrooms is in our master bedroom, Craig's in my master bedroom. And then the other bathroom is in between. It's across the hallway or whatever. And it's in between Owen and Jonah's room. And that's the bathroom that they primarily use.
Oh,
okay. So I told Owen today, I'm like, you're going to have to clean your bathroom. And he was like, oh, I was already planning on doing that. And I'm like, okay. Mm. So.
Oh, good. Very nice.
But so, I'm hopeful that I can get everything done that I need to get.
Yes. Yes, I believe in you, Beth. I think you can do it.
You have
all the techniques. You have the utmost focus and power.
I also helped Jonah. Like, I did a deep clean of Jonah's room, and like, he wanted to rearrange his room, and his computer was in his closet, and all of this and that and the other, and he wanted more room for VRing, and so I made that happen. And I have another workspace in my room, too. I found another table that used to be one of the boys' desks. And so I have this workspace here and then another workspace. I can't have too many workspaces. I think I'm going to use one for like doing my crafts and then the other one for reading. So.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Can't have too many workspaces in one room is what I always say.
Right, right. Yeah, you know what? Maybe you could have like just lots of workspaces throughout the house. Yeah. I mean, what would be the, there would be no disadvantage to that.
You know what? I do. I have a third workspace and it's downstairs in like our computer room / den. And that's where my sewing machine is. So all the workspaces.
Yes.
And I have
very nice.
This like craft cart thing, like for the Cricut that you can put stuff in and you can put your Cricut on there. And I think I'm going to bring that up here because you can never have too much craft stuff in every house. So, yeah. Anyway, that's what's happening.
And workspaces.
Workspaces, yeah. Here's what's happening in the church. Is this the order we do stuff? I have it. Okay.
Yes.
Usually have it like right there, and I'm
this
like,
is yeah. This is actually the first time that we're doing this.
Yeah, yep. The first time we workshop an opening, but we just stole it from the church. So you know, anyway.
Right. Fire no, this is the first episode of the podcast. No, this is not the first episode of the podcast.
For those of you who are. You know what? This is our Born Again podcast. You know, it's a.
Yeah, this is our Born Again podcast. Yes.
So everything old is new. Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Well, somebody put VBS.
Oh, you know, this is totally unrelated to announcements, but have we gotten any emails from our Gmail account?
No, not the last one we had. Actually, I can read it. I never did read it.
Okay.
The last was from Kathany Ankeny.
Oh.
It was, let's see, after. Actually, I can get into that later.
Right. But, yeah. Yeah. I think we'll have time for that. Yeah.
Back to the updates. Let's see. What do we have on the horizon? I hope nobody tried to go to the church office on Monday because it was closed.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Okay. This Saturday, May 31st, you can help plant the church vegetable garden. And that'll be from 9 a.m. to noon. You can contact the office if you want more information on that. That sounds like a fun time.
Yeah.
And then after you've worked up a sweat doing all of that garden work, you can head on over to the Guerrera's house for the in-betweeners luau potluck. That will be from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
All right.
Friday, June 6th, we have the memorial service for Dorothy Lathrop. That is at 1 o'clock p.m. Sunday, June 8th. We have the Palmdale UM Foundation Scholarship Sunday, and that's when the seniors in high school get presented their scholarships from the Rich Scholarship Foundation.
That's wonderful.
Maybe it's the Palmdale UM Foundation. It doesn't matter. Also on Sunday, June 8th, from 2 to 4 p.m., the Summer Kids Club begins, and you don't want to miss that. So you can sign up your kids. It's not too late. That's going to be great fun.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Yeah. And then a couple weeks after that, June 21st, I'm actually hosting the Women's Crafting Potluck Brunch at 10 a.m. That'll be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then Thursday, June 26th, is the senior bus trip to the Long Beach Lighthouse. And I think they meet at the church at 9 a.m. I just copied and pasted this from the email that was sent out on the 22nd. And I realized that it says Saturday and Sunday, June 26th and 27th is VBS. But it's not. It's in July. I need more time, you guys. So do not bring your kids to VBS in June. Wait until July, please and thank you.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. And then off the top of my head, I think I can maybe remember the ongoing stuff. We've got online scripture journaling on Mondays and Tuesdays at 8 a.m. You can find the links for that on the church app. Wednesdays, we have our weekly food for thought, which starts at 6:30, and you get a nice, is it 6:30?
Or is six. It six? Food for thought is six. Six.
Sorry, guys, it's at 6 o'clock. But if you get there at 6:30, you're just in time because that's about the time they start to eat. So,
Right.
But you want to be there at six so you can get the message. And I think that Karen Spencer is going to be leading that this Wednesday.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then we have our chancel choir practice on Thursdays at 6 o'clock.
And
worship band practice at 7. Is it 7?
Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody wants to be in the praise band, I called it a worship band.
I don't know. It's like praise team, praise band, worship band, worship team. It's like all the different names for it.
I'll be getting an email from Don and being like, actually, no, probably not.
This is the official name. Official TM.
And I think that's about it for updates. Speaking of updates, Tim,
speaking of updates, yes, I have an update for the Methodist moment. Actually, I was thinking this is not Len Tim anymore, I was thinking that this could be the Methodist Tim moment. You know, you have the Methodist moment. You have the Methodist Tim moment. I don't know.
Or Methodist momentum. No.
Yeah.
That doesn't.
Methodist moment.
Whatever you want. Dealer's choice. It's fine.
So I want to share an update on, I will not say what it is until I explain. So basically, I wanted to share an experience that I had during Confirmation Sunday. So Confirmation Sunday was wonderful. We had some people being confirmed after they had been baptized previously and like when they were really young. And so confirmation is an opportunity for them to confirm the statements and the just that full experience of the baptism in their later years. That is usually around young adulthood. There for the 11 o'clock service, there were two girls. For the 9 o'clock service, there was six people, I think, guys and girls. And so I happened to be singing in the praise band for the 11 o'clock service. And I was really happy to do that. It was just an honor and a blessing. I felt the Holy Spirit with me during that time. And so at some point towards the end of the service, I was thinking that I was going to say something to the girls to congratulate them in the social hall, because Pastor Jim was saying that we can do that. We can go up and talk to them and congratulate them on their confirmation. So I went ahead and did that. I told them like how amazed I was, and I just thought it was wonderful and like a blessing that they were able to go through confirmation. I met both of them, and they were really nice, and it was just a really wonderful experience. I got to meet one of their families too, and introduce myself, and I basically forgot everybody's name, and I'll probably ask everybody's name again when I see them, but I didn't forget the girls' names. I think it was Annie and Emma. Those were the two girls for the 11 o'clock service. So anyway, I was really social at that point. I was in the social hall talking to them, talking to Pastor Jim, talking to a bunch of the other people in the social hall. And I was just having a wonderful time at church and a wonderful day in general. Everything was going so smoothly. And so like towards the end of like when I was actually going to leave the church, I actually said goodbye, I think, at one point, but then I happened to notice that Pastor Jim and one of the adults there, she was talking to Pastor Jim about baptism. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I was just kind of following them because I was heading in that direction to go out to the parking lot. And I recalled that a few weeks prior to this, I had asked my mom if I had ever been baptized, and she told me that I hadn't. So basically, at that moment, since I had heard that person and Pastor Jim talking about baptism, I just went ahead and talked to Pastor Jim about the fact that I had never been baptized in any faith. And so Pastor Jim was like, oh, OK, do you want to get baptized? And I said, yes. So I'm going to be baptized here soon. I'm not 100% sure on the date because, like at some point my mom and I may, like go on vacation or something like that. I did have an idea about when I wanted to do it, that I confirmed with Pastor Jim. So maybe next episode or something, I'll have a date for you all. But, I just wanted to share that I'm going to be baptized. And, I've been going to Palmdale United Methodist Church since October 2021. And I'm just eagerly anticipating being baptized, and I'm just so happy that I'm at this point in my faith journey that I can like say that I want to be baptized. And I think my life has already been changed over and over and over again from following Jesus and being a part of Palmdale United Methodist Church. But I think this is like the next amazing step in my faith journey, that I can have that public expression of faith. And I'm just like so much looking forward to it. And I asked Pastor Jim for some suggestions about what I can like look into for like resources regarding before my baptism. And he recommended that I watch the sermon series that he gave on like Methodism and like basically the history and John Wesley and all that stuff. And so I watched the first sermon for that. And I was just so amazed by John Wesley and his being a pastor and like how he is putting his faith first, changed his perspective and saw that it wasn't the works that had to do with being a child of God, but it was the faith that basically brought forward like his grace to us as a gift, that we didn't deserve it, but we had God's grace as a gift that we can always think of. And so then the gift transforms us, and we're made like in such a way that we can move forward following after Jesus and loving God and loving our neighbor. And so, yeah, but I'm just so happy that I can have this experience of being baptized here in the near future. So I just thought I would share it on the podcast. And I'll keep bringing forth updates as the time comes and things that I learn and so forth. But yeah, so that's what I got. So I'm really, really happy to share that with everybody here, including you, Beth. So.
That's exciting news, Tim. I'm going to pretend that this is the first I've heard of you wanting to get back. This is exciting news that I'm hearing for the very first time.
Oh, thank you.
So I would like to extend to you a pre-congratulations. And it made me laugh a little bit when you said that you wanted to be social and talk to the girls and congratulate them. And you went to the social hall to talk to them. And I was like, what better place to be social than the social hall? I wonder if that's why they call it that.
Right. Well, I think there are some other names that are not as common. We have the fellowship hall and the friendship hall.
I am a big fan of the friendship hall. And I can go back to why we call it the friendship hall. I think it was last year. All the years have gone blurred together, but Smash Mouth really was correct when he said the years start coming and they don't stop coming. But anyway, last year, I think I went to a messy church conference with Pastor Jim in Chicago, and the church that was hosting the conference, their social fellowship hall was called the Friendship Hall.
Oh,
like, that's amazing. I love it so much.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love that too. Yeah. That's wonderful.
So before we move on to discussing the sermon, I will read the email.
Yes. Definitely. Apparently. Yeah, because that'll be, then we want everybody to email us. And so we recognize Kathany for doing that. That would be very good. One last thing before you read that is, I just felt like I just felt so inspired to talk to Pastor Jim about baptism at that moment. Those two girls having confirmation, and then it just like made me realize that I hadn't even been baptized. And then I was going up and talking to the girls about being confirmed. It was just kind of like an amazing, like, epiphany, kind of like,
yeah,
like what better time to get baptized than to like witness somebody being confirmed and then scheduling your baptism. Like, I could not have planned that. Like, God totally planned that.
God. You know,
like,
it reminds me of that. Now I can't find it. From Esther. Esther 4:14. Hey, my dogs are barking. Someone is at the door, I'm sure. But anyway,
I didn't hear it on the podcast.
That's okay. It's in my ears and it's driving me crazy. So you're lucky.
Whoa.
Esther 4:14. For if we remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your fathers mainly will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. So who knows that you have come to your time of baptism for such a time as this.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'm hoping that you and your father's family won't perish, though.
Right. So, oh, okay. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
That's the hope.
Right. Indeed. Yes.
Yeah. So
not perishing. I do know that when we have that scenario, it's passing from life to life. But even so, the perishing part does result in people thinking about grief. And we do have a grief share for anybody that needs that kind of support. So it's good that you did talk about perishing, because we do have the grief share.
I'm not sure if it's going on right now, but I'm sure there will be a session in the near future for anybody who needs it.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of God's having these plans and stuff, reminds me of a song that I was listening to the other day. I think it was Elevation Worship, Always on Time. And there was a lyric there that said something about every moment, that there isn't a moment where God isn't in it. Basically, I don't know. I thought that was kind of neat. You know,
yeah, that's true.
God has his touch on everything. So yeah. that's really a beautiful thing to think about.
Yeah, it really is. Speaking of God having his touch on everything,
yeah, what a wonderful segue.
Yeah, here's the email from Kathany Ankeny that she wrote March 21st that I forgot to read on the podcast. And the title is Newborn Babies and Podcast Learn from the Trees. Hello, MTTM friends from your absent-minded favorite fan. I'm catching up on podcasts and had to stop listening to respond to Jessica's update on baby arrival. You three were discussing several things, including how to get the podcast to us hungry fans. You spent some time explaining how the distribution of episodes would happen. Then part of the story I heard was, oh, even if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you can use that time to listen to and edit the podcasts. All I remember from the first 6 weeks of my children's lives was that I could not honestly answer the questions I asked myself all the time. Did I brush my teeth this week? Maybe it's just me, but those seemingly endless days blended into nights, then morning again, and on and on. Everything was one big blur of constant activity, none of which involved me sleeping in my bed or anything that resembled a normal life. I adored my new babies so much, so that when they started having babies, I flew all over the world and even drove down to Long Beach weekly to help with my grandchildren. You are in my prayers, and let me be the first to say that I'm happy with reruns of MTTM if it means you get some sleep and a chance to brush your teeth. Love to you all and my PUMC family, Kathany Ankeny.
Oh, wow. I love that. Thank you, Kathany. Yeah. That's like a really wonderful email. That's awesome. And yeah. I think she kind of predicted the future, to be honest, because that's exactly what happened.
She didn't really, because that is what happens with babies. I also didn't want to put more pressure on Jessica. Like, I just that's probably why I didn't read the email. I didn't want, I figured she would find out on her own that having a baby means no sleep. And
wow.
Just, you know, when you have, when you've already experienced like having a newborn or whatever, having kids, and it's really easy to make your own, like to try to make your experience everyone's experience. And I didn't want to overwhelm Jessica. And like, I don't know, I just feel like they're already in for a ride. I need to add more to that and be like, oh, it's gonna be terrible, you're never gonna sleep. So yeah,
well, that's thoughtful of you, Beth.
I didn't want that to be in the back of Jessica's mind, like, oh, we're never gonna sleep again, what? I guess I wanted that to be a surprise. And now 18 years later, I still haven't slept, but it's right. Different reasons now, I guess. Yeah, so
all right. Maybe when you have a baby, it teaches you how to like function without sleeping, and then you don't sleep for other reasons, but then you had the baby so that you already learned how to function without the sleep or something. I don't know
how to function properly, but I also didn't know I had ADHD back then, and so that's a lot of, you know, the issue today. But
right, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess I don't know. I don't even think I had the awareness that I had ADHD back then, even though I was diagnosed when I was a kid. Yeah. But, you know, it's a constant discovery, you know, whether you have ADHD or just being a human, you know, a human thing. That discovery and human beings, they go hand in hand.
I agree. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good, though. Thanks for being thoughtful about Jessica and Amber. And
I already know that they're probably getting a bunch of unsolicited advice that they didn't ask for. And I'm try to contribute to that, you know, like,
right.
People always have opinions. I remember when my kids were babies, like, my family was pretty cool. You know, my mom was pretty, like, she was helpful and, like, she wouldn't try to, like, overstep. I'd be like, here's how I want to do things. And she would be like, okay. And then, my mother-in-law would just, like, be weird about stuff. And I breastfed both of my kids. And after I had Owen after, like, I don't know, she called, like, after 2 or 3 weeks, and when Owen was 2 or 3 weeks old, and she was like, oh, so when did Beth stop breastfeeding? And Craig was like, she's still doing it. And when she came out, when Owen was 6 weeks, I think she was a little, like, sad that he wasn't, you know, taking bottles. Like, he just got it from the tap. And so she wasn't able to feed him. And so it was a whole thing. But, and then one time, I have a lot of stories, but this will be the last one. she wanted to, like, dip his pacifier in Diet Pepsi and feed it to him. And I was like, why?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Because just so he could get a taste of something different.
And
I did a lot of research, you know, on the whole thing and breastfeeding, and actually the breast milk does change flavor depending on what mom eats. So he was getting all sorts of different flavors anyway. So,
Okay. Yeah. So if you eat, like, macaroni and cheese or something, then your milk will taste extra cheesy or something.
Yeah,
we were talking about cheesy earlier. How did cheese come into the picture again?
Owen was what I ate, so, you know.
Right. That's really interesting.
But can you believe that what's today? Little Miles is almost 2 months old now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to hear that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get Jessica back soon. But in the meantime, Tim and I will still, you know, try to carry on.
We're carrying on. We're finding new ways to describe things. You know, you got the Methodist moment and the Tim moment. Methodist Tim moment.
No, I was going to say meth Timist. No, that doesn't work either.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people that misspell my name as Time.
What?
Time. Hey, Time. It's some email or something like that. They just...
You think it's autocorrect? What is happening?
Speaking of Time, I did want to correct that lyric that I gave for Elevation Worship, Always on Time. It says, there's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time that you didn't see me through, God, so I worship you. So, yeah, I thought that was a really special song.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I thought you were going to say, speaking of time, let's get into, it's time for sermon feedback.
It's time. Woohoo! It's time for sermon feedback.
Woo! What did you think about this one, Tim?
I'll
put a timer on this time.
I thought it was really amazing because it just really goes to show how Jesus brought forth transformation to those that we're not part of the in group.
Hold on, Tim. Continue. Let's tell them what the sermon is about.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot.
This
is the last sermon of a 3-week sermon series called From Outsider to Beloved, God's Relentless Pursuit of Everyone. And this specific one is called From Outsider to Beloved, A Mandate to the Insider. And he goes over Hebrews 13, 11 through 16. And go. Sorry, Tim.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. So basically, to give a brief summary on the sermon. So Pastor Jim went through some extra stuff when he was getting ready to become a pastor. And that included being involved in other pastoral type care situations. And there were a lot of different opportunities, but one in particular, he felt called by the Holy Spirit to do, even though initially he had a reaction like he didn't want to do this. And that was to be a pastor for psychiatric care or psychiatric wards. And I thought that was really inspirational and nice. And especially relatable for me, because I try to be really understanding to others and when they go through different psychiatric stuff. And like, I know somebody, like a friend of mine, she has dissociative identity disorder. And just recently, somebody at the park that I became a little bit friends with, I found out that she was going to school for psychology, and she was going to work with people that have psychiatric conditions. Like, she described what it's like for somebody to experience schizophrenia. And then, of course, I have OCD. So then I got that whole like intrusive thoughts, like understanding and how you can have anxiety and depression and stuff. So I thought that's really like inspirational that Pastor Jim did that. But getting into the more into the sermon here, when Pastor Jim talked about Hebrews, I was referring to how you have the outside and then the inside. And there was a lot that for the Jews, they actually had specific ways in which they would protect the in group or or God's chosen people, with like Leviticus mentioning how you have like clean and unclean practices, for example. And so, like, I don't remember all the details, but there was a lot of emphasis on that, though, like in the initial like parts in the Bible and the Israelites following after God and so forth. And so, like, Jesus changed everything and like spent time with like people that were like down and out, like, you know, the tax collectors and the like people who had conditions like leprosy. And so, like, Hebrews was talking about like welcoming the outside or going outside of the city. And so, like, yeah, so that's kind of the main thing in the sermon. There was one other thing where Pastor Jim was talking about this passage called I think it was the rag man or something. I'm not 100% sure, but basically it was a really inspirational story about how you have someone who would like switch clothes, I think, with like some sort of attire with somebody who has like afflictions or suffering, somebody who was having like lots of tears or a lot of pain. And so the rag person would take on that and then kind of experience that kind of like as like an empathetic response. And so then that was so like all in all, that ended up being like an analogy for Jesus. Jesus took on everything that we experience, like as like just being a human. Like he did all of that. And that's just really amazing to me that Jesus went through all this pain and suffering for our sake so that we could be redeemed and we could follow after him. So that was kind of like the summary for the sermon. For all of you listening, Pastor Jim did an awesome job, like, basically bringing us forth to welcome those that are outside of Christianity. And so the way that I see that is like basically loving God and loving our neighbor, really focusing on the fact that we love our neighbor. We love our neighbor and we're like welcoming them, not necessarily for the purposes of bringing them to Jesus, like in a way that, oh, if you're not part of the in group, then you're outside. No, we want to make everybody's day better. We want to be like welcoming to other people in a way that we try to make the world a better place. And I think that absolutely is the way that I want to go about my life, like basically trying to be loving towards others. And I have some friends that are outside of being Christians, And they're some of my like close friends, and I talk to them a lot, and I try to be as we mentioned on the podcast before, and Pastor Jim saying this, it's like, I try to be that person who is like Jesus to them. And that means like showing empathy and just being like understanding I think that was really nice that Pastor Jim like brought us in that position where we want to try to be a blessing to the world and be loving towards others. I think that really is the message of the gospel, like really bringing forth love onto the world. And I think it starts with cultivating love for God, but just so importantly that we love others and we don't do any gatekeeping, like what Pastor Jim was talking about in the previous sermon. We don't want to do any gatekeeping. We want to be gate openers or something, so to speak. I don't know. God's gates are open for everyone. And I think Palmdale United Methodist Church does that. And that's the wonderful, the one of the amazing things that I love about the United Methodist Church, but I think that all Christians can be loving and welcoming, that Jesus' message is for everyone. So those were kind of my takeaways. What did you think, Beth?
Well, I think I've said this before, but it's still fitting. In the podcast I listened to called Methodists to the Madness. I'm just kidding. I don't like I just can't. I've said this before also. But in this podcast that I listened to called Bonanas for Bonanza, where they talk about episodes of Bonanza, the host, Dalton Wilcox, opens every episode. Sometimes it's not until 30 minutes in because he forgets to say it, but he'll still say it even if it's 30 minutes into the episode. But when he remembers, he likes to start each episode by saying, "Hello, friends, come on in. The gate is open wide."
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
So I like to think about that as anti-gatekeeping. Like,
yay.
Opening that gate.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
So this was actually, I've loved this sermon series so far, but this one was actually very timely for me. And I didn't even watch the sermon until today because I'm at church every Sunday, but I'm teaching Sunday school at the 11 o'clock service. And I can't get my life together enough to, you know, attend the 9 o'clock service and then do my Sunday school. So I just watch it, you know, Mondays before the podcast or Wednesdays before the podcast if we record on Wednesdays.
Right.
But I wanted to share something that happened when Owen and I went to lunch after church on Sunday. Usually when one of my kids helps me with Sunday school, I take them to lunch with me after. Nobody else gets lunch, just the person who helps me. You have to help me at church if you want me to take you to lunch. And having kids is expensive, but having teenagers is really expensive when everything to do with graduation and pictures and Owen just got braces. And so it's been a lot of money that we've had to sling around lately. So we just went to McDonald's and we got those $6 meals. Actually, Owen got a $6 meal and I used my McDonald's points to get a Happy Meal for free. Those are 6,000 McDonald's points. So our lunch was like under $6 because I had a Happy Meal. And the $6 meals, that's a pretty good deal. You can get either a chicken sandwich, spicy or not. And it comes with a 4-piece chicken nuggets and small fries and a small drink. Or you can get the McDouble, which comes with the same stuff, except it's a McDouble instead of a chicken sandwich. And you still get the chicken nuggets and French fries. And so we were sitting in McDonald's eating our food. And we noticed a homeless guy just like inside waiting. And I don't know if he had ordered food or if someone ordered food for him, but Owen saw him and he had finished his hamburger and his fries. And he said that he was going to give that guy his chicken nuggets before we left. And I was like,
oh, okay, wow,
that's really nice. And so I'm sitting there eating my meal. And then I was looking at the kiosk, which had a picture of just like chicken McNuggets, like stacked up really high, like Scrooge McDuck and his gold coins, except with chicken nuggets. Uh-huh. And Owen was like, oh man, he left. And I was like, wait, who, what, what's happening? And cause I was, my mind was still on those, you know, chicken McNuggets. So I was like, okay, well, let's go see if we can find him. And that guy just vanished into thin air. I don't know what happened to that guy. But I don't know if you've ever been like in Palmdale, like kind of like near the paint store. I can't remember what the paint store is. There's a paint store on one side, and on the other side, there's the Aldi, which I frequent. And anyway, there's a homeless guy who hangs out there, and he just has like all of these signs that like they say like free Palestine and, you know, like rich people are bad or whatever. I don't remember what they say, but it's like lots of political stuff that basically we're all ignoring, like, you know, Native American genocide and all of that. And
wow.
So we saw him and I've seen his signs before. And I've always been like, good for that guy. And so Owen was like, oh, well, and when we just saw him walking back and forth, like that was on the corner by the paint store. And we just saw him like kind of walking back and forth in front of the paint store. And Owen was like, oh, I should give him, maybe I'll give him my chicken nuggets. But then he was like, oh, no, but I don't want him to be offended because, you know, McDonald's is a corporation and corporations are blah, 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 blah.
Right, right, right.
And I was like, well, let's just do it anyway, because I bet he'll just be happy that someone was nice to him.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. For sure.
Yeah. And I don't know that Owen would have stopped if he was by himself. I wouldn't have stopped if I was by myself. But it was kind of like between the two of us, like we both were able to muster up the courage to, you know, go up and talk to him. And we actually had a really good conversation with him. And he said that like people rarely stop and talk to him. Like 99% of the time people are like just like saying hateful things to him and like they don't want to be there and all of this and that the other. And like we talked to him for about 45 minutes and he was kind of telling us his story and how he did, like, this is his choice. Like, he's choosing to live like this because he just kind of, like, looked at the world and he was like, all of this is made up. Like, we're just, like, on a system. Like, money isn't real. And, you know, it's just something that we made up. And, you know, rich people are in control of everything. And so, yeah, it was just really nice to talk to him. And I wasn't even thinking about the sermon series when I decided that we should talk to him, but I'm really glad that we did, because like he just gave both of us like a new perspective, and he talked about how like sometimes you can't trust humans because we have the ability to, you know, manipulate and do evil things, and but he was like, but you know you can trust, it's animals. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. But I do feel like I'm often manipulated by my dog. And I know that that's not what he was talking about. But it was just such a really good conversation. And it just happened to be like a right place at the right time kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I dropped Owen back off at the church parking lot because he drove himself. And then we just kind of like sat in my car before he went to his. And we had like a 30-minute discussion, you know, in the car in the church about our experience. And I just thought, like, what a timely thing that happened. And, you know, and I just was like, really just so thankful that we were presented with that opportunity to talk to somebody who is on a different walk of life than we are. And
yeah,
just like, again, it's like what I was talking about last week, that people just want to be seen.
And right.
So, yeah, so that was like you said about your baptism, I feel like that was also a God moment.
And yeah. Wow. That's so awesome, Beth.
Yeah.
That's really cool that you could help that person feel seen and like you understood their perspective. Mm-hmm. On how they saw the world. And like, it's like you and Owen stood apart, like out of all the people that would like not really even see him. Mm-hmm. Like they wouldn't even really acknowledge it. Maybe they saw him, but they wouldn't acknowledge him. And so what you and Owen did, you acknowledged him and mm-hmm. made him feel like he was an actual person that had like an opinion that mattered and was understandable. And so that's really like a blessing that you can do that. You and Owen could do that for that person. That's awesome.
And he took those chicken nuggets and he was very grateful.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that description of how you saw an ad for the chicken nuggets and then you just comes up piling them.
I know. I'm like, wow. It's like the Scrooge McDuck of chicken McNuggets. Ooh, that kind of works. That's weird. Okay. McDuck McNuggets.
McDuck McNuggets.
McDonald.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, speaking of timeliness, I kind of had a similar experience, not as major as yours, but on Sunday I met with the Young Adult Life Group. And we were actually talking about how we could maybe spread like what is it? How do I describe this? Like what we felt was the right thing in our discussion. We were talking about how Jesus brought forth an idea to this rich man about what the rich man could do, like besides all the things that he was doing in terms of following Jesus. And Jesus told him that he'll have to sell his possessions and mention how it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so we got into this big discussion. And one of the things was trying to contribute to the world and make the world a better place. And so we were thinking about like helping the homeless and stuff like that. So like, yeah, the timeliness is right there with me as well. Like after having that discussion on Sunday with the young adult friends, it's like, yeah, that's one way that we can show our love and welcome to the world. Like basically like what you and Owen did for that person, standing there and trying to like spread information to people, like acknowledging him and showing understanding. Like we can do that for. Oh, and actually Owen had the idea of giving the chicken nuggets to the homeless man, you know, or the homeless person. So like I'm thinking about that for myself, like maybe I could just carry some like extra cash with me or something like that. And I can give it to homeless people that I see that are asking for it, or like do that extra thing, like for a friend that needs help. Or anybody that needs help, you know, even like, you know, love our enemies, like Jesus would tell us to do, like go that extra mile for somebody that we wouldn't normally, because we have the love of God within us and we want to share that love, with others, you know? So I think that's what we want to do now. It's like God's relentless pursuit of everybody. Well, we bring forth that same energy and pursue others with love, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, the guy that we talked to has an Instagram.
Oh, cool.
he, When we were wrapping up the conversations, he asked us what our names were. And so we told him, and then we asked what his name was. And he said his name is Oz Crowhawk. And that's the name of his Instagram, if anyone wants to follow him.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Another interesting thing that he told me, that he told us, was that he used to live in a bus, but they took his bus. Oh, he's very anti-government, which I get, but
right.
They took away his bus that he was living in, and he also had a truck, and he said that they took away his truck, and he was like, but that doesn't matter to me because, like, it's just stuff. And he said, yeah, that, you know, when he released himself from, like, living the way that everybody else lives, like, it makes him happier, I guess, or like he doesn't feel like he's chained to the oppressive system and all that. And
right,
I just was like, what a perspective, you know, like, it's stuff, you know, like, they can take away everything from me, but I'm still going to be here. And so,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a really enlightening kind of perspective to have, honestly. Yeah. We have such a like tendency to idealize our stuff here in this society. And like, that's kind of like a breath of fresh air to kind of think about it a lot differently. Focus on love for others and not like love for our stuff, you know, like love for God, love for others. It's not about like loving our stuff, you know, that's a really refreshing perspective to have.
Yeah.
Like how can we like benefit ourselves in a way that it makes it easier for us to love others, or love ourselves, but love others. But, you know, that kind of gives you a really, it really gives you a renewed understanding about life, you know, when you think about things in those terms.
Yeah.
Then there's people that like, I don't know, it's kind of a funny thing for me to bring up, but there's this book in the public domain that I read. It's called, I didn't read the whole thing, but it's a fiction book called Alidor by Henry Newbolt. His last name is spelled N-E-W-B-O-L-T.
That's Henry how I would Newbolt. Have spelled it.
What?
That's how I would have spelled it.
Oh, okay, perfect. I don't know. So anyway, this book, it's kind of dreamlike in a sense, dreamlike narrative. But the main character, he renounces his knighthood. He just completely renounces his knighthood. He was a knight and he had all these people serving him and stuff like that. He meets a child, and the child, he has such a nice interaction with the child that he suddenly has the epiphany that none of this knighthood stuff matters. And so he renounces his knighthood. He goes out into the wilderness with the child. He finds out that the child is not a child. It's like a something of like a spiritual creature or something like that. Then he meets a hermit, and the hermit is out in this house. And like, you know, he's not doing anything with anybody, and he spends time with the hermit. I think the main character's name is Ewan. Anyways, just kind of like thinking differently about all this stuff is really important. I think free ourselves from like the oppression, like that person was saying, and like free ourselves from arbitrary things that are preventing us from showing love to ourselves, to love for God, especially, and love, like, so importantly to others, like making the world a better place.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Do you know this song Free Your Mind by En Vogue?
No.
Free your mind and the rest will follow.
Wow.
What else do they say in that song? Be colorblind, don't be so shallow. Yeah, basically. So yeah, they've been saying that since whenever that song was made.
Wow. Free our minds.
Free your mind and the rest will follow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's like all these we have all these systems, right? It's like we have these, I think everybody is subscribed to the smartphone system. And so, and whatever like major conveniences and major inconveniences are associated with that. My big thing is everybody seems to be doing the scrolling thing, and, you know, social media, and we're more connected and, but more disconnected than ever.
Exactly. I know.
Wow. Yeah. So, wow. And then you deactivated your Facebook temporarily.
I did. Yep.
I'm going to have to do like a cold turkey. Don't go on YouTube or Reddit for like a long time, so that I can really rethink the way I like spend my time and stuff like that, you know? So that's one system right there. And so then you have other ones too. So the main thing is, I mean, the systems can help us, but the main thing is, if it's preventing us from being loving, then maybe it is a problem, potentially. Mm-hmm. You know, so anything that prevents us from showing love.
Yep.
And so we just want to put love first, put God first, put love first, put our neighbors first, like, and just try to make the world a better place, and try to understand ourselves better so that we can show that love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like that.
Thank you. So did we do it? Do you think we solved the world's problems again?
I like that you're saying it now. That's my favorite.
Oh wait, were you saying it before? Oh yeah, you were.
We do it. Did we solve the world's problems?
Oh, that's cool.
I think we did.
Yeah, definitely. So I thank Pastor Jim so much for this sermon series. It was very, very helpful. You know, God relentlessly pursues us, and then with that same energy, we wanna pursue others with love, you know?
Exactly.
So yeah.
Do you have any prayer requests?
Yeah, prayer requests. Let me think. I think it's kind of like something I was planning to bring up in the check-in, but now that we had like a really good segue for this, I think I need a prayer for, this is not Lent, okay, but I need a prayer to like just decide to cold turkey, like stop scrolling on these apps.
Oh,
stop scrolling on YouTube, stop scrolling on Reddit. Those are the ones that I scroll on. So just a prayer for me to like have that confidence to like go forward onto that journey. And I guess kind of, clarify my mind in that way. It kind of reminds me of the passage from Romans. I forget exactly how it goes, but it's like, be transformed by the renewing of your mind to what is acceptable and good. And so I think that's what I need now. I think it's Romans. What is that? Romans 12. Guess it.
I have it right here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Romans 12, 1 through 2, or Romans 12, 2, 12, or
12, 2.
Yeah. Oh, 12, 2. Yeah. Yeah. I guessed it. Oh, man. That's wild.
Not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Wow. That's so awesome. And it really relates to what we were talking about, too. Yeah. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Wow. Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
Wait.
Yeah. The transformed by the renewing of your mind. What?
Is that your prayer?
Yes.
That you won't be conformed, that you won't conform to the pattern of this world.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think I do tend to be like acclimated in that way for myself, like not trying to do things just because everybody else is doing them. But this definitely appeals to me, like trying to break out of the scrolling for sure. And yeah. If there's anything else that that I need to be more loving to others, and maybe figure out my life, then yeah, I could use a prayer for that too. So yeah, so that's my prayer to break through this unhelpful habit of scrolling too much. I mean, I don't even think I scroll that much, to be honest, but that extra like 30, 45 minutes, I could be legitimately doing anything else, like reading books, Sudoku, playing some like other game that I happen to think is like nice. Sudoku is really cool though. And I'm supposed to go back on to reading books. And so maybe I can do that if I decide not to scroll.
You know, when I don't want to be on social media, well, I deactivated my Instagram and my Facebook. And wow. I did that over a month ago because I remember I did it before Easter. So that was my after Lent thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, that you know what? You know, instead of after hours, it's after Lent. Look at what happens after Lent.
Yeah. So sometimes when I just don't want to be on my phone, I do have a couple like Sudoku books, like paper books that I do. I'm not as good at them because I make more mistakes because it doesn't let me know immediately if I've made an error.
Oh, okay.
I was watching TV the other day and just doing my Sudoku in my little book. And I'm like, I haven't even been on my phone. So, and I when I was cleaning out the bonus room, I found this book that I think my mom gave the kids a few years ago. It was just like a bunch of like brain games for kids. And it has like mazes and crossword puzzles and word searches. And they're not really as into that stuff as I am. But I put that book aside and I was like, I'm going to be doing this book. So I'm an adult, technically, age wise, I'm an adult, but I really like children's coloring books.
Oh, wow.
It's easier to color. And like the little activities are so easy that it just makes me feel like I'm a genius, even though it's because like, I don't know, a 7-year-old could figure it out. So I'm excited to get into that kid's book. It's not a coloring book, but.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's kind of, I can really relate, honestly, Beth, because I hang out with older people, not like people not in my age group, a lot. And then also, I really like this series, The Prydain Chronicles by Lloyd Alexander, and that's a children's book series. And I'm interested in reading like Alice's Adventures in Wonderland too, like. So yeah, I totally relate to you on that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, doing childish things, you know, I think it's important to cultivate that child at heart.
Right. Pastor Jim's really good at that. He has a collection of children's books and, he likes to read the young adult genre books because those are good.
Yeah. You know? Like, yeah, exactly.
They're really good and they're well written and they're not like, you know, like War and Peace or whatever. And I'm like,
yeah,
talking about. So yeah.
Right. Or just like really complicated plots and characters that are not, I don't know. It feels like when you get into some adult books, it's like the characters are just not relatable anymore or something. Like they're just not relatable adults.
No.
Like, I don't know. So yeah, it's like,
I relate to the awkwardness and insecurities of being a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I love coming of age stories, you know?
Yeah, me too. Those are good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, yeah, that's my prayer to have that renewal for my behavior and fall in your footsteps, honestly, because you deactivated Facebook. So I guess technically I'd be doing something somewhat similar.
Yeah, it's not easy and I do miss it, but I miss it because I miss like seeing what my friends are up to. And I'm probably missing all of these really cute pictures of Amber and Jessica's baby, but they can show me those later.
Right, so. Right. Exactly. If it makes you feel better, I have Facebook, but I never go on Facebook.com and scroll because I don't know. If I really wanted to connect with the person and get the pictures and stuff like that, I would just message them.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either, though. It's a problem. I need to start reaching out to
people. I know. Actually, I'm in the same boat. I don't text people very much either. Yeah. So I think we're in the same boat in that regard. That's funny. But you don't scroll on anything now since you deactivated Facebook?
I still do get that scrolling urge because it's, you know, the easy dopamine or whatever.
Yeah. Or it's the Skinner box.
Yeah. But I do go on Reddit sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And I think, yeah, Sudoku and Reddit, like those are my two things. I don't watch a lot of YouTube. But yeah, I don't feel the same. Like, it's still, I feel like somewhat of an addiction, you know, like that urge to scroll or that urge to, like, you know, do anything on your phone. Sometimes it's Reddit or sometimes it's Sudoku, but those don't wreak havoc on my mental health as much.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. So for me, any scrolling is starting to wreak havoc on my mental health. So that's why I need to stop. I need to develop a healthier relationship with it. I need to put some distance between me and that behavior.
Right.
Because it's preventing me from doing healthier things like reading more or even just like doing other stuff, like playing a game that I really want to play or watching a show that somebody recommended to me. Like, I can't even do that stuff, you know, because I'm just like scrolling. It's like, so that's interesting. But yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You're talking to me about all this. It's given me a lot of confidence.
Good.
What do you have for a prayer request?
Prayers for safe travels for when Jonah and I leave tomorrow for my mom and my stepdad to get to our destinations safely. So safe travels for us on Thursday and on Friday, because we always make it a 2-day trip.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Prayers for you and your family on that. Wow.
And also prayers for like all the kids graduating in these next couple weeks. I know that I don't know if it's all the schools, and I actually don't know how the graduations work, if they stagger them or what, but I know that Joseph, Miriam's son's graduation is this Friday and Owen's is next Wednesday. So just prayers that everybody out there celebrating their grads can do it in a safe manner and, you know, have fun though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's really nice for you to say that. Yeah. I definitely prayers for everybody graduating.
Yeah. Also my dad will be flying out. He won't be staying as long, but he'll be flying out next week closer to, I probably could just have this as my prayer request for our next podcast, but no, prayers for my dad after we record next week's podcast, because he and my stepmom will be flying out. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Prayers for your dad and your stepmom.
Yeah.
For sure. So, all right. So yeah, you, one other thing. Yeah. That's a big step, you know, graduating high school.
I know.
That's really amazing that, Owen is at that point, and, you know, Miriam's son, Joseph, that's huge, you know, that's like a rite of passage or a big milestone.
Yeah.
Like now you become more adult-like.
Yep.
So my saying become more adult-like, well, that was specific. becoming an adult, that doesn't really mean much. You can be more adult-like though, as you become an adult, but you can still be a kid.
Just look at us, we're living proof.
Right, exactly.
She already sent one of her kids through graduation. I think he graduated 4 years ago, and I was just kind of like, how do you do this? It's so emotional. How are people just like holding it together? I'm not doing so great at that lately. I'm just like, oh, everything is happening. And yeah. Wow. Oh, I'm an 18-year-old. I'm only 29. Just kidding. Anyway, wow. I got to get back to cleaning. So.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. One last thing. John Wesley, his family, I think Pastor Jim said that it was like 19 kids.
Ooh.
19, yeah.
Too many. 19 high school graduations.
for the record, maybe it wasn't 19 actual graduations because I know, they had bad.
Some of them didn't make it.
Yeah, some of them didn't make it.
High school graduations in heaven. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Indeed. Yes.
John Wesley's family. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Prayers that John Wesley had such a large family and that he brought forward Methodism for everyone. So that's really wonderful.
Yeah, John Wesley.
But yeah, I didn't. Well, yeah. So John Wesley and United Methodist Church, and here we are in this podcast, and we have love for God, love for our neighbor, and there none of those things were really sentences. They were just a bunch of phrases inside of one sentence. With that being said,
Amen,
you Methodists.
No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness. Methodists.